So yes, we look after the Baptist churches, 172 of them across Essex, Suffolk, Norfolk and Cambridgeshire. And I kind of cover Norfolk and bits of Suffolk, hence being here. And yet our job is broad and complicated and joyous and difficult, and it's ministry. And that's what ministry is really, isn't it? Anyway, today, Ben gave me this topic of Psalm 150. And I read Psalm 150 and I read it again and I read the commentary and I thought, to me, this lends itself to something quite interactive rather than me standing talking at you. So although this isn't one of your cafe services, which is more interactive, we're going to be more interactive today because I think that's how we'll get the most out of this psalm. So Psalm 150 says this. If you want to find it, feel free. It's the last one. If that helps, once you've found Psalms, just go to the end and you will find it. It's one of the shorter ones and it's quite straightforward and to the point. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Perhaps we'll get to that later. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And all the people said, praise the Lord. Well, there's the psalm. There it is. And as I said, in many ways, quite straightforward, isn't it? And we may not have a harp, a lyre, or a tambourine, or strings. We kind of had a harmonica. That's a bit like a pipe, isn't it? Or a resounding trumpet, maybe. And great it sounds too. But we are coming with a spirit of praise. And apparently this is the beginning of a series on celebration. Is that right? Well, in the Psalms, this is what's, this section, 146 to 150, is what's called the final halal. Where you halal? Hallelujah, okay? Which means praise the Lord. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. And this is the final psalm, group of psalms, 146 to 150, which are psalms of praise. And there's two other praise collections in the psalms, 113 to 118. And 120 to 136. And here we land at the final one. And the tone of these psalms is this unrestrained confidence in God. There's barely a shadow of anything being wrong. In fact, if I read part of 147, it says, praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. Great is our God and mighty in power, and his understanding has no limit. It's this tumbling words of praise that are coming out from the psalmist, isn't it? And here in Psalm 150, we have 13 calls to praise. There's 13 of them. Can't ignore that, can we? 13 calls to praise. This is our lifestyle. This is how we should be. But verse 1 is praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. That's like the song that we've just been singing. The psalmist speaks of a place of praise, the sanctuary, and going up to the temple to praise was incredibly important. You've got the Psalms of Ascent, which are all about the psalms that were sung as people ascended to Jerusalem and ascended to worship in the temple. For the Jewish people, God inhabited the temple. It was a sanctuary. It was a place where they found God. But the psalmist is always saying, praise him in the mighty heavens. So you've got the sanctuary where God's worshippers gather, but then you've got the mighty heavens. Have you ever been somewhere so dark that you could actually see the stars at night? Maybe you get that chance in Framlingham, I don't know. Better than you do in Thetford, I'm sure. Yeah, it proves you probably do. I remember being in Italy and halfway up a mountain kind of thing is where we were staying, and I couldn't sleep one night. It was too hot. So I just went and sat outside, and then I looked up. My word, we don't know how many stars are up there because we don't see them most of the time. But when you do see them, you want to praise him for the heavens and praise him for all that we can see. So I just wonder how you feel about praising God. And what I'd like you to do now is break into perhaps groups of three or four or something like that, however it works out. Or you could go for a six over here and two groups of four over there. And there's some questions that are kind of come up on screen, I hope. They're on their way. There they are. What is unique about praising God as a group of worshippers? This is just your opinion. What constitutes a sanctuary as a place of worship or praise to God? You see, here you are meeting in a school. That's not exactly the same as the people of Israel ascending to the great Jewish temple, is it? So what is it about a sanctuary that makes a place of worship to God and praise? And what in nature causes you to praise God the most? So talk to each other, move your chairs, have a chat on Zoom. So what is unique about praising God? What constitutes a sanctuary? And what in nature causes you to praise God the most? Okay, so Stephanie is saying, I think what's unique about praising God is that everyone has their own style of worship and practices their worship differently. I lost the rest of it. And that's wonderful that we can all do that and he will accept us all. Brilliant. Thank you. And Peter says, reminded of the woman in Samaria who Jesus spoke to, worship anywhere, Jesus said, so long as it's genuine. A lot to talk about just from those statements, aren't there? So just a quick feedback. Just one person from each group. Just want to share one thing. You don't have to summarize the whole of what the group said.
We had four different perspectives, which I'm not sure I can recall. Andrew thought that it was sanctuary. It was a small godlike world. I thought that sanctuary was when you were out in the world, you were mixing with sin. When you came into a sanctuary, you escaped that sin for a brief moment with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I forget what Sheila, what was it, you, Shelley? You,
sanctuary that they originally built, and that to, so that God could dwell with them, but not.
Yeah, and it was, maybe it's us being disciplined to listen to God as well.
That's all part of being sanctuary. Okay, thank you. Other thoughts about what's unique about praising God as a group of worshippers, maybe?
About praising that we're a unity. We're in unity with each other. We love each other and God loves us always. Mm. And sharing that is just amazing.
And that makes it different from when you're on your own, doesn't it?
Yeah. But even so, when you're on your own, you can, if you just take a moment just to close your eyes and just switch off from all the troubles, you can just sit there and you can ask him to come in and he'll just minister to you if you need it or make you happy. And if you have any sad thoughts, he corrects those to good, happy thoughts.
Yeah, so I wonder, does the place in which you're doing that become a sanctuary? Perhaps it does.
My husband, if he finds things too much, I say, well, go in the room on your own. That's your sanctuary. Mm. But I think, like Peter said about the woman of Samaria, and when Jesus said, anywhere. It can be. I can go somewhere on my own, and it is my sanctuary to praise God. Doesn't matter if you're in a church or wherever. That's a different, vibe about it, but yeah. It's still the same. And unique about praising God as a group, you've got that uniqueness of being all together in one spirit and one soul and one body, praising God.
So actually, God's people almost creates the sanctuary for us now, because we live in under the new covenant. We no longer have to have a priest that intercedes in the Holy of Holies, but we create a sanctuary as we come together to worship. I've got another question around that, but I'll hold that for a moment. Anybody got any thoughts about their what in nature causes you to praise God the most? Oh, we got a comment from the back.
Sorry, that was this is still about the first one.
That's all right.
Yeah, it's I think when we're together else, and as that happens, I find my view of God kind of widens and widens and widens. And I, you know, just we can do that for each other when we get them.
Yeah, that's another aspect of that. So about this question about nature, what in nature causes you to praise God?
It's snowing in summer. It's gorgeous, and it's now out.
It's arresting, is that what you're saying?
Arrestium, it's called. Snowing summer.
Oh, okay.
It's a white bed of flowers.
Ah, okay.
Absolutely stunning.
It is out.
Highly recommend it.
I thought that the view of the oilseed rape was actually quite stunning this morning as I drove along. It's not a plant I love particularly, but when you see great expanses of yellow fields, it is quite stunning. Other thoughts about what in nature causes you to praise God?
One of the things that really inspires me about nature is that we've got a God that makes just the very, very smallest thing. But as you said earlier, he makes the stars, which is much. So from the smallest atom right the way through to whole the galaxies is made by God.
Yeah. It blows your mind, doesn't it? My husband likes to take very detailed photographs of flowers, and he loves to get the focus absolutely spot on. And you go, wow, when you see that detail, like you're saying. And then you go, wow, when you look up the mountains, or you stand at the top of a mountain or a small hill, if you live in Norfolk or Suffolk, and you go, wow, because you can see further. And it just reminds us of God, the creator. So just another little comment about sanctuary. You know, we've all said that there is a sense of sanctuary. We come together, we can find sanctuary when we're in our own place worshiping God. It isn't confined to a building anymore. And yet also, I wonder, have you ever been in places where you just have such a sense of God's presence? And the Celtic Christians refer to this as the thin places. Somehow there are certain places. If you've been to Lindisfarne, Holy Island in Northumberland, that's a thin place. And it's steeped in Celtic history, and it's steeped in prayer. And somehow you're in those places, and there is a particular sense of the presence of God. And sometimes you can get this when you walk into a cathedral. Or I like to go and wander in the priory ruins in Thetford. There was an enormous priory in Thetford back in the 12th century. And the ruins are still there and quite extensive. I find them really peaceful. And I think it's this sense that this is steeped in prayer. And there's something about sanctuary in places like that. Now, this is just verse one. I need to speed up. We're not going to go through every single verse, you'll be glad to know. But praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in his highest heavens. There's some thoughts for us to go away with. We're going to sing again now, Men of Faith and Women of Faith too. And so if we just have a quick look at Psalm 118 and just bring you a couple of verses from that. Psalm 118 is a lot about looking back at what God has done. And verses 10 and 11, all nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, and in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They blazed like a fire thorn, and in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was failing, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. And you read a lot of this in the Psalms, of the psalmist saying, this is what God did then. This is why he is my strength. But also in Psalm 18, you get an echo of the prophecy about Jesus. If you look at verses 21 and 22, and 26, you'll see some verses that are familiar to you from the New Testament. Verse 21 of Psalm 118, I thank you that you've answered me and become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Is that a verse that you remember from the New Testament? A verse quoted in connection with Jesus becoming our very cornerstone. And then verse 26, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. There's the quotation that is cried out on Palm Sunday. And so in the Psalms, you get the praise for God's surpassing greatness, the praise for what he has done, but the looking forward to what is going to happen. And if we just flick to Psalm 22 as well, and verses 17 to 18, much of this psalm talks about the suffering, which we then see Jesus suffering. Psalm 22. And as I read these verses, perhaps you can picture Jesus on the cross. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. Familiar verses from the crucifixion scene. And so in this psalm of praise, verse 2, it says, praise him for his acts of power, praise him for his surpassing greatness. But by looking back and praising God for what he has done, we can actually look forward for what he will be doing as well. So I wonder whether anybody has anything of a testimony they may want to briefly share this morning, to testify of God's great and all-surpassing power. Just a few sentences. Anything that's happened in your life recently where you've seen God answer prayer. I'm going out on a limb here because you might all remain silent, but if you do, you do.
I just think that God works in the everyday all the time. And I think often we forget that. There's so many prayers that we give to God, but how often do we remember to say thank you? Because they are answered. And I have a lifetime of prayers being answered. And that goes from miracles of people, like my mum couldn't walk. She was healed. She can walk again. I can think of probably 10 other people that we prayed for that now they can walk. I shared my testimony with a deaf man and he got his hearing back. Just sharing the testimony. And I just think we've all got to remember that our prayers are real. God does hear them and he cares and he wants to do something about them. So I think actually if we all just was here long enough and thought of even one prayer that we prayed last week, we'd actually find that maybe it's already been answered.
Yep.
But often we forget that.
Yeah, we do.
So,
yeah, we move on to the next problem too quickly, don't we? But we need to recall what God has done because they are the building bricks, of our faith. It's the things we stand upon when life gets rocky.
Now that the Lord's at work in Ukraine, because this is a Christian nation, it's in Europe, everyone's fearful, but a massive army has not contained them, has not taken them. And they've been protected, there's no doubt about that. You hear the stories, there are some amazing stories that have happened. Mm. People have been saved, you know, and he's at work there for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know it's a war, and it's terrible, but,
yeah,
you know, yeah. And the nations are turning against Russia.
Mm. So, yeah, war is tragic and sad, but in it, God is at work. Ukraine would call itself 40% Christian, which, bearing in mind, this country is about 11%. 40% of people would call themselves Christian. So, yeah.
Something I've noticed about God answering my prayers is that he deals with my lack of faith by helping me to forget that I've prayed for it, to take the pressure off, and then it'll be answered in 2 or 3 months. I think, oh yes, I prayed for that.
Yes, thank you, that is so true. Steve, I can't give you the whole circumstance of this little story, But Stephen and I were really seeking the Lord's guidance about something. And I wouldn't say we'd sat for hours praying. Don't get the wrong impression. We sat in the car praying, actually. And then we'd gone to scout out a particular area to see whether this would work for what we were praying about, and just standing there. And this man came and had a conversation with us. And because of that conversation, we knew what to do next. But it was just this, there was no, I mean, the man worked in that area, but there was no reason why he should come and talk to us. But that conversation, and I didn't see it as an answer to prayer until I told my daughter the circumstance. And she said, "Don't you think that was God that put that man there?" I'm like, "Oh, yeah. Sometimes we're a bit dim, aren't we?" And it takes others to go, "Oh, look at that." So we need to stand on the amazing acts of God's mighty power. We need to stand on the all-surpassing greatness. And as this verse 2 says, praise him for his mighty deeds, praise him for his surpassing greatness. And as we stand on that, we can look into and believe in a prophetic future. Shortly, we're going to share communion. But before we do that, I've got three more questions for you, which I believe will come up on the screen. And we'll have this discussion time. I won't ask you to share about this one. We'll go from the conversation to singing a song, and then Ben will lead us in communion. So the conversation this time is, in what way does sharing communion draw us to recall God's amazing acts of power? In what do you find most poignant or powerful about sharing communion? What do you find prophetic about sharing communion? So break into your little groups again and have a conversation around those questions, which will lead us towards actually sharing around the Lord's table. So I'll shorten your conversation because I've just looked at the time. but hopefully these may be thoughts you can carry with you. In some ways, the answer to these questions is obvious. But actually, there's always another layer with communion, isn't there? There's always another layer. And so as we come and share it in a moment, I pray that God brings you another layer. But although we can say, oh, the awesome power of communion is Christ being raised from the dead, what's the other layer God wants to say to you? What today will be the poignant or powerful thing for you? What today will God be bringing you hope for the future because of sharing around the Lord's table? So we're going to sing Before the Throne of God Above, and then Ben will lead us into communion. So it's quite appropriate that after communion, actually in this psalm, praise explodes from the page, is where we get to with verses 3 to 5. This is the mode of praise. This is how praise happens, is what verses 3 to 5 are. The other verses about the where and the what and the why. This is very much about the how praise happens. Now let's read it again. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. This is a loud, exotic band. Imagine them going up the hill towards the temple. Do you remember that passage in 2 Samuel, or it's also in Chronicles, when David is bringing the ark back to the temple? And Uzziah gets in a bit of trouble for touching it. But after that, it says, when those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, David sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. That wasn't a quick thing to do, was it? Anyway, but David, wearing a linen ephod, he was dancing before the Lord with all his might. Have you ever danced before the Lord with all your might? Well, Prue, here's your opportunity. In a moment. I think I have at a big festival. I have in the big worship tent at Spring Harvest. But is it with all my might? I'm not sure. I think it was still with a degree of self-consciousness, actually. But David is dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and sounds of the trumpets. And he's accused of being drunk because of how he looked. Should we be accused of being drunk when we're seen praising the Lord? It would be a compliment, actually, if that were the case. And so the very last verse sums it up. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And if you take Psalm 1 and Psalm 150, they're both quite simplistic in their own way. Psalm 1 basically says, if you do everything the Lord says, your life will be right. Psalm 150 says, just praise the Lord and all will be fine. I'm kind of glad you've got the other 148 in between, because we know life's not quite as simple as that. But the other 148 help us with the rough stuff, the bad stuff, the laments, the crying, the tears, and the anger. It's all there in the Psalms. But here we are reminded at the end of the day, when the world is in chaos, when our lives might be so tough we can't explain it, if we still praise the Lord, come together as a body of God's people, come together in his sanctuary, whatever that looks like, praise the Lord because of what we see in this amazing world out there, praise the Lord for all that he has done in the belief that he still will do. And if we praise the Lord with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and any instrument we can grab, then our eyes are fixed on the one and only, the one who sent his son Jesus for us, that we have just celebrated and remembered. And through the power of the Holy Spirit and through Jesus, through all things, we can be conquerors. Praising the Lord lifts our eyes beyond our circumstances. And that's so much of what this psalm is about. So we're going to end by praising the Lord.